Practice, we were, Melody wasn't here on practice on Monday, so Brandon and I had to do her part.
Oh, it was bad.
She's like, I don't sound like that.
Oh, it's, yeah, it was different. Yes, it was on purpose, trust me.
He's got his capo, he's got it all happening.
Getting there. Who needs capos?
There's a long black tree coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and dried. Trails of symphony, people remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black tree. Redemption staring back into your eyes. There is projection in this peaceless city. Burning your ticket for that long black train. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Praying to the Father and His holy name. Don't go right. Be right on that long black tree. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Praying to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black tree. So good, but I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. Its only destination is the middle of nowhere. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Praying to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. I say cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Devil's driving. Thank you.
fun. Fun song.
No capos. Actually, you might be missing a verse up there, but just sing along when you see the words, okay?
And the rest of it just...
Trust us. Trust us. You might be missing a verse. At least the first verse is right. Go ahead.
Statement in there tonight that said all throughout history people have wondered why God allows evil to go on. Ever wondered about that? Why he allows the mass genocide of Jews during World War II? Why he allows dictators to kill millions of people? Why there's war? Why wicked people prosper? It seems like that happens all too often. Or at least we think they're wicked. We look around and see that sin seems to be running wild in the world today. But that's part of His plan. It's not anything that surprises God, and I don't think it's probably anything that surprises us. Why didn't He stop the carnage? Why didn't He stop the killing? Why didn't He stop the chaos? Because we know He could do it. It wouldn't take anything for Him to do it. Why does it seem like a lot of times that Christ followers suffer? Church got a card today from Linda Wright thanking everybody for the prayers and the flowers and the food. And she goes on and on and on and on about, you know, things that she's thankful for. But why do Christians suffer? And the last question presented there is, when will justice prevail? Well, we have a pretty good idea when justice will prevail. It's going to prevail when Jesus comes back. And so we look at tonight and at chapter 10, and we're going to see that day coming. And I think, you know, and we've talked about it a lot, and we see it fast approaching where He's going to break the silence about what's happened and what's going on, and the purposes of man are going to be consummated on this earth. And at that time, the Lord will return, and there will be the sounding of the seventh trumpet, which will announce His return. So as we look at chapter 10, it says, and the caption here is the mighty angel in the little book, and I think it's a contrast when you look at these two. But John wrote, he said, I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And I looked at that, and even though I did misspell the word mighty, I do know it's M-I-G-H, not M-G-I-H. But that's... I hate it when I do that. Spell check doesn't work on my computer. But this is a very high-ranking angel in the chain of angels. And a lot of people, a lot of authors, and still some today, think that it might be Jesus. And He might be the angel they refer to. But several sources I looked at said that when it says, I saw still another mighty angel, it's not Jesus. But it's another angel coming down in a cloud of glory. So it seems to indicate, when you look at that, that it is a created being. It's not Jesus, but it's a created being. There's very little known about this angel. Nothing is said anymore about the angel. The text talks about a rainbow, and one writer said that could be a promise that God had made to Noah in the covenant with Noah, that He would no longer destroy the earth and destroy the world by water. And that's just something that John, you know, that was probably revealed to John by Jesus in this revelation to remind people that's not the way it's going to happen. But as we know, it's going to be by fire and brimstone. And it said feet like pillars of fire. And when you see this, what this really does is it's an affirmation of God's resolve to bring about what He said He's going to bring about. And, you know, as He's planning on destroying, you know, the world and execute the day of judgment, this is symbolic of that's going to happen. And verse 2 said, He had a little book open in His hand, and He set His right foot on the sea and His left foot on the land. And it's pretty much, you know, the little book. And I thought, I wonder what in the world that could be. You know, because we hear a lot about that, and we hear a lot about the scrolls. And apparently it is the seven-sealed scroll, the seventh seal scroll there. And it's the title deed to the earth. And we've talked about that phrase before, the title deed to the earth. And when this is finally opened, what it will be when the seventh one is open is going to be the final judgments are going to be made visible on the earth. Right foot on the sea, left foot on the land. Satan has temporarily had control of the world and had control of the earth because God gave it to him. But what this does is this signifies, and maybe it's a symbolic act, but it signifies that the earth belongs to the Lord. It does not belong to Satan. And so he's taking that back. Verse 3 says, "And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices." And that idea of the seven thunders. John was told to conceal this message of the seven thunders, and we don't see, you know, too much more about it. One writer said it could have referred to the seven different judgments that have not been disclosed yet. They could have also been warnings that were not given to people on earth, because many people had still yet refused to repent. And then one author said, and I thought this was kind of interesting, that it could be and it could contain all of the promises that God had for his people, but they were just too awesome for him to share that with his people yet. But Job said in chapter 4, verse 23, said, "I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Things far too wonderful for God's people." And that may be what John was doing. He may have been talking about things that were just way too great that people would not be able to handle, would not be able to deal with it. "Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them.'" And as I looked at that and thought about that, what he's saying is, after he had talked about him, he said, "Seal them up. Don't write about them. Don't share anything else what I've told you." And we have no idea what he revealed to John about those seven thunders. The one thing that we do know is what he says in that is, "Do not write about them." And that's we see nothing else at this point about that. "The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer." The Greek verb there that I was looking at that is kind of a technical sense of raising, and I did take some Greek, but it's been several years ago. Greek language, yes, dear. And I studied Greek, and when you get into looking at a lot of the translations and you take it away from what the pure Greek is, it totally changes the meaning of what's trying to be said. So the Greek word here saying that he raised his hands is really just a technical sense of that. And people used to raise their hand, used to take an oath toward where, you know, to where God dwells. And people, and I guess they still do it when they, I know they, well, they did when I was on jury duty, is people are sworn to tell the truth, have them raise their right hand, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And some people can't quite get all that remembered. They forget the whole truth. But that's symbolic there. And he goes on there to say that there should be no delay any longer. Indicates that the last of the plagues that are going to come about will come about on the day of the Lord. It also indicates that the disciples had anticipated that this had come. And Jesus had talked about this and with the disciples about the second coming. Matthew, there's a lot of information in Matthew about the second coming. And they were aware of it, and they were looking forward to it. But I always also thought that how weak they were when Jesus was around. But when he left and sent the Holy Spirit, how much more power they had. And how, you know, and they went out and there's 3,000 people added to the church in one day. And there was no record or no indication before the Holy Spirit came that there was anything like that ever happen or ever occur. So the time the final judgments come, God will no longer give warnings to people. He'll no longer offer repentance. All the restraint in the world that he has had is going to be removed. But there'll still be an opportunity for people to seek forgiveness and people to be forgiveness. But his spirit's going to be pulled away. And one of the things that people have often said is that how can you, you know, be drawn to God unless the Spirit draws you? And so that's a question I really can't answer. Because with all restraint gone, then total hell is going to break out on earth. And that's a good question to maybe find a Bible, you know, scholar or theologian to answer. How are people going to find him if they're not drawn to him? Verse 7. But the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound the mystery of God, would be finished, and he declared to his servants the prophets. We read that there, and you look at that, and there's a mystery that's there. The Greek meaning there is to shut up or to close. And when he says that the trumpet's about to sound, the seventh angel, his trumpet's about to sound, that God would be finished or God would shut up or God would close out everything. It really becomes the final consummation of all things on earth. God's going to destroy sinners because they have made that choice. No, it's not his desire, but they have made that choice, and he will establish his kingdom on earth. And this is where it gets kind of interesting, because when you read about John eating the little book, then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, and this is John saying this, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said, take and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. It's kind of another mystery there, I think, when he says, you know, take and eat it. When you look at that, you know, it's kind of a graphic act if someone's going to literally chew it up. But what he's saying here is that, you know, John's indicating here what the proper response is, then that is that the anticipation of what God's glory and our victory will be. But he also ties that into the sadness or the wrath that's going to be outpoured on the world. And there will be sadness for many people because of friends and family that are lost. There'll be sadness because of people that are lost that they don't even know, because of that awesome day that's about to take place. Verse 9, he says, your stomach will be bitter. John literally becomes, as you read this, becomes nauseated, because, you know, when he says, take and eat, and it will make your stomach bitter, becomes, you know, nauseated because he digests it with the seal. So when you look at that, because it still hasn't been opened, the seventh one still hasn't been opened. So that's what he's digested. Along with that is the trumpet and the bowl judgments. That will be bitter. And what that's really what, you know, Jesus, you know, I mean, there's no way around it. That's what's in store for the people that reject him. Is that bitter, nauseated feeling that they're going to experience. It says, then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, it made my stomach become bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. The sweet as honey there is the reference to the bitterness is a reference to the people that are lost. The sweetest honey there is reference to those who have accepted the realities of Christ and are Christ followers and are going to enter heaven with him. So that there's a comparison there of that the sick feeling versus the taste of it that's sweet as honey. In verse 11, it's a call again for John to warn men about the final judgment and the seventh trumpet. Now, God said he wasn't going to do it. But what he's saying here is to John, he said, you must prophesy again. But Jesus has already said that he has removed the restraint. And I think that's interesting too. So he's talking to him about the judgment and the seventh trumpet and the seven bowls which are going to come next. And John's going to prophesy about a world that had turned from God, rebellious nation, rebellious people. We talked about earlier of people killing people. A third of the people would be killed. And then we talked about, man, killing other men. And those people that have turned from God. So this message really becomes a message for all. The only distinction is that there are two separate marks here. Really, there's a mark and there's a seal. There's a mark of the beast, which is the 666 number. But there's also the seal of God, which is on, and it'll be, it's my understanding in reading and studying, it's also going to be on the forehead or on the wrist, one or the other, or maybe both, that those particular people are going, you're going to either be one or the other. If you've got the seal of God on you, you're not going to be able to do business. You're not going to be able to transact business. You're not going to be able to do anything that the Antichrist is not, will not allow a person to do that. So as we look at that, it's an interesting thought. Next time, we're going to be taking a look at the two witnesses, and the witnesses that are sent are all literally killed. And then the cool thing about it is they're resurrected, and that's kind of some neat stuff. So that's really kind of a short 11 verses, but wanted to just go with that tonight. Prayer request. I got a card from Linda, and she said she's doing okay. But I talked to Bill about a week ago and said she got up and her knee popped, so they were a little concerned about that. So the knee that she had replaced, so they're gonna go take care. They were gonna go get that checked out, and then want to just keep Todd and his son in our prayers. Keep Todd and son in our prayer of thanksgiving and our prayer of answered prayer. Get that straight. Because as we've said, when God hears our prayer, all we have to do is thank him. Any other prayer requests? I would mention Sunday. The 15th anniversary of 9/11. We've been we'll refer to it, but the message on Sunday is 2 Kings chapter 1. And it's kind of interesting where Ahaziah sends three different companies of men to bring Elijah to him, and the third one's the smart one. Get a chance, read it. It's an interesting chapter. But it's all kind of tied into unforgiveness. And co-worker peace. And co-worker peace. You can do that. I used to have people work for me who didn't like me. I'm sure it'll be fine. You may be a little frazzled at the end of the day. Karen will add you to that list. Okay. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how good it is to come into your presence. Really, how good it is to stay in your presence. And to be part of that fellowship and that communion with you. That's the best part of it. That's the best part of it, being able to talk to you. I'm just thankful for Todd. And talking to Todd tonight and how he's shared with me how he's grown over these 2 years. And he's only grown because you have blessed his life. But as we grow, sometimes the wind blows and wants to blow down the harvest. As we prayed earlier, Father, we are confident that the trials that Todd and Tiffany are facing will be secure in you. And so, Father, we thank you for hearing that prayer. And we give you thanks for answering it. And that peace will come to Todd and the situation, Lord. Just in your time, in your way, the prayer's answered. And so we thank you for that. And Father, we lift up Linda Wright, and we just pray, Lord, that you will just continue to touch her life and continue to touch her knee, Lord, and give her the strength, the one that she'll be able to have the other one taken care of. And Lord, that she'll be able to be on her feet again. So thankful for doctors that treat us. But more thankful for the great physician that heals us. So Father, we thank you for that continued touch in Linda. And we just pray a special blessing on Bill, Lord. We love him and miss him. And just ask that you just provide comfort to him and joy that only you can bestow. And Father, we lift up Sandy's co-worker. And Lord, we just pray that spirit of resistance and spirit of defiance that she have will be lifted. And we pray, Father, that that working relationship that will be restored. But until she hears that, and until she yields to you, we pray, Father, for peace for Sandy. and confidence, and she's doing what she needs to do. And she's continuing to love her, continuing to care for her, continuing to try to be a friend. But that spirit that has a hold of this co-worker, we bind that spirit in Jesus' name. And tomorrow, Lord, we just ask that when they walk in that office, relationships are restored, communication is restored, and the working environment is at peace. We ask you that in Jesus' name. Lord, for Nancy's trip, flight to Alabama, we just pray, Father, that you travel with them. Pray, Father, that you give them joy. Give them a fun time together. Good opportunity to get away and to do something that's different. So we pray, Father, that you bless that trip. You bless the travel. Pray, Father, for safety. Pray, Father, for a good, smooth flight. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you, Father, for Nancy and for her faithfulness. We just pray, Father, you continue to bless her. And Lord, we pray for Karen, Katie, and for Nicole. And pray, Father, that this Saturday, that the birthday party will come off smooth as silk. That nothing will interfere with what's meant to be a good time for little kids. And so, Father, we just pray that there will be peace and comfort. That your hand will be in everything that is done. That your hand be on each and every one of those little kids' shoulders, Lord. And in the lives of their parents. And Father, as we look towards Sunday, we again ask your blessing on our Sunday service. We pray, Father, that you will help us in our remembrance of 9/11/2001. And help us remember those that are lost. But Father, as tough as it is, we pray that you help us forgive those that did the damage to those buildings and to those lives and to those families and to the survivors, Lord. Because we have to live in a spirit of forgiveness. As hard as it is, we only do it through the grace of God. And that's absolutely the only way that we can do anything. So, Father, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks, Father, for the opportunity to come. Lord, we pray that we will get this message of your coming and your second coming in our hearts, that we will have that desire to share your message with other people. But Father, we again give you thanks for this day, and we just pray, Father, that you continue to bless each and every person here tonight and each and every person that will be here Sunday. In your name we pray. Amen.
Larry, I always like it when you get the PowerPoint to me before Thursday, because I could just copy it and drop it into mine for Thursday. Yeah, it works both ways. Then sometimes it works your way, sometimes it works my way. Actually, it wasn't until this morning. It's like, ooh, I didn't make the Thursday PowerPoint, and then you sent that to me. It's like, okay, there we go. That saves some time. Oh my.
see what we can do with.
But Jesus took me. watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. A little chat, a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our things cry. And he will answer by and by. When you feel the rain will turn, and you know a little fire is burning.
Where at least I know how.